Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Mazure, and we're on location in Everett, Michigan at the original Dulcimer Players Club. I have my co-host today is Brian Burchett. He's the president of ODCP. Again, that is the original Dulcimer Players Club. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Tom.
Brian, who do we have next?
Our next guest is Peg Earle. Peg is currently our vice president of our original Dulcimer Players Club, but she's served in other capacities over the years as well. And she's been involved with the club for longer than I have, and I thought it'd be good to talk to Peg and get some history. She doesn't go all the way back to the very beginning, but she goes back quite a ways. Peg, why don't you tell us, when did you get involved with the ODPC?
I was fortunate to come in 1985. That was my first year. I had had a mountain dulcimer, and I got a hold of a lady to give me lessons. And instead, she referred me to a lady named Linda Foley. And I took the mountain dulcimer out to her, and I saw hammered dulcimer, and the rest is history. So I came with Linda the first year. Linda and Kurt made Lost Valley dulcimers for years. And by that time, I had already started making instrument cases to support my habit. 1985, and I was hooked. And I've been here every year. Some years because of life, fewer days, but every year since then.
So you started playing the hammer dulcimer in 1985?
I started in the winter of 1984-85.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we talked earlier about there are a lot of workshops here for a lot of different instruments. Mm-hmm. When you learned to play the dulcimer, how did you learn to play the dulcimer?
Okay.
Did you take a lot of workshops?
The first thing I did was had lessons from Linda Foley. And the first year I came here, things were much different than they are now. There were workshops, but not near as many. I took maybe 2-3 workshops a day, but then I went out and practiced what I learned in the workshop at jams. I was fortunate to come at a time, the Up on the Hill Vendor building used to be an open building. And I remember sitting in a jam, and the ones in the middle of the jam were the ones that had been here forever and really knew what they were doing. And I sat on the outside, and I played whatever I could catch. So I'm a product of lessons and ear learning. I had played clarinet in the high school band and got away from reading music, but that's come back too.
And a lot of people who are involved with this organization and with this festival don't read music. A lot of people do learn about
that's
music.
Right.
And that's another thing that makes it this organic thing where music is transmitted from person to person through listening and watching, and would you please show me how you did that? And it makes it more of an oral tradition as well as an aural tradition.
We're definitely a mixed bag.
I just love there's so much here that you don't experience in many other places. Thank you for opening up this. Pat, what to somebody who, with your experience and exposure here at the Fun Fest, to somebody who's never come, what type of invitation would you give to them?
Oh, let me see. First of all, this is like coming home. I'd like to tell you that we have something for everyone here. Once that you pay to get in the gate, and it's really minimal compared to other festivals, everything is available to you. There are workshops, there's jamming, we have stage shows, we have vendors, we have a youth program, and so it's family friendly.
And we're going to be talking to a family about that later in this broadcast that came from Ontario. They may have made this to be a priority of their family vacation unanimously by the children.
Wow.
We love to see families, and in fact, throughout the decades, It's quite common for there to be a family band that participates on stage. And I think, who knows, the folks you're talking to, maybe someday they'll be the next family band on stage.
You know, something I love is seeing kids who have grown up here. Brad Batty is an example. They grew up here, and they're now here as adults and on stage.
What I hear you saying is there's a legacy that is being passed from generation to generation, both familiarly, but also community-wise.
Yeah, and this is part of lots of other traditions. The Irish music tradition is very much like this. If you go to an Irish music session, people learn from other people. So we're not unique in that sense, but we do think that we have something special. That kind of community is vibrant and close-knit, but welcoming to anyone who wants to join us.
Very good.
Peg, I was hoping that maybe you just talk a little bit more about the very early days.
Okay.
I know you weren't there at the beginning, but
no.
You described when you came in
mm-hmm.
1985
mm-hmm.
that you were with people who were there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So what could you tell people about the origins of the club and the way people who were there at the beginning described it?
So in the beginning, this club was formed to promote and preserve the hammer dulcimer. And when they first came to the fairgrounds, this is secondhand, but I think it's pretty true. When they came to the fairgrounds, actually they were just kind of like a bunch of old hippies to the people who lived here, and they were afraid they were going to cause trouble. It's like, no, 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 we won't do that. And when you came in, they handed you a paper to sign, because they figured if you were here to play music, you were here to perform, to share. It was a big sharing time. And so, it just went on and added. The club itself came into being 60 years ago, but the Fun Fest, this is our 49th year.
So tell us a little bit more about you were expected to perform. So
right.
Did they put people up on a stage under
no.
bright lights?
No, they did not have a stage then. They gave you a card and you were to put in three tunes that you were going to play, and they took turns. So it was a big sharing time. It's a sharing time now, but it's a different kind of sharing time.
Did people tend to sit in a circle?
I don't know, because I wasn't here. I'm sorry about that. But it's that they shared. And I've been in other states where a jam is not like a jam here in Michigan. Jams are where we get together, we play music. Of course it's a hammer dulcimer festival, but it'd be pretty boring if it was only hammer dulcimers. So we welcome anyone who has an acoustic instrument. And so our jams are for us. And we sit in a circle and we play, and you're welcome to come and listen. And that's the way it is.
Part of the name is the original. What is original? Define what original is.
So this is a little bit of an inside joke or a play on words. There are two different, broadly speaking, there are two different types of dulcimers. There's the mountain dulcimer. It's sometimes called a lap dulcimer or an Appalachian dulcimer. And it's a stringed instrument that you strum like you might strum a ukulele or a guitar, except instead of holding it on its edge against your body, you lay it flat on your lap. The hammer dulcimer, as we've described earlier, is this larger trapezoidal instrument with lots of strings. So among in the dulcimer community, sometimes there's a good-natured joshing about which one came first.
Which came first.
So
the chicken
original might mean that our hammer dulcimer is the original dulcimer. But it's also the original dulcimer players. In Michigan, when the club was formed, it was formed at a time, one of those folk revivals that has happened before, where people are concerned that a certain type of knowledge of music is going to fade away. And so the club was formed to preserve the Michigan dulcimer, the tradition of playing music. And so the original Dulcimer Players Club is, it's either the original dulcimer or it's the original Dulcimer Players Club. And it's playful. It's meant to be playful.
I do have another tidbit of information.
Good.
Okay, go for it.
So when you're talking about the hammer dulcimer to someone, and it has all these strings, and it's played with these mallets we call hammers, those strings are like playing the piano strings. And the dulcimer actually was, the hammer dulcimer was called the lumberjack's piano. That's something when they couldn't take their piano out west, they would take and they would dance to. So, yeah.
And it was used in the lumbering camps in
right.
Michigan. So when you mm-hmm. study the history of the lumber industry in Michigan, the dulcimer shows up as one of those instruments that was played.
Now that we're talking history, is the Michigan history of the dulcimer different than the history in other quadrants of the country?
So in some ways there are differences. There's a method of tuning the dulcimer that's been known as the Michigan tuning or Webster tuning. Mm. And it's somewhat in decline these days. The standard tuning for the dulcimer is now, it's tuned in fifths. Those in your audience who understand music theory will, that'll make sense to them. A mandolin and a violin are tuned in fifths as well. And that this standard tuning is dominating. There are still people who play with the Webster or the Michigan tuning, and there are advantages and disadvantages to each one. But I think there are a set of tunes. Like any region of the country, the traditional music comes from the people who settled in the area. So in the Great Lakes area, you would tend to have music that comes from the French Canadian tradition. You would tend to have some music that even might be, this would be less common, but you would have had some folks who married Native Americans, and some of the Native American traditions might have been incorporated into some of the folk music 100 or 150 years ago. There are tunes that are played up here that you don't hear down south when you're down, and there are tunes played in the south that you don't hear up here. So when you travel to different festivals, sometimes you have to acquaint yourself with the local musical dialect.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Peg.
Thank you for having
us. Part of this, and you're kind of the link to the founders of the organization. So history always gives us our perspective.
Yeah, we're glad to share, and I just. We're having a wonderful time, and just let the folks come and see. It's great.
Well, thanks again.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Peg.
I'm here with the Herzog family, and I have the father, James. And James, introduce me to your family. Now, some of the family is around us. We have four children, but you have a couple more.
We do, yeah. So my wife and I have six children, and we've traveled here all the way from Ottawa, Canada. It's about a 10-hour drive or so, and we are glad to be here.
How did you hear about the festival?
I had not heard about the Hammer Dulcimer or the festival or anything about this until around, I guess, maybe the mid to late 90s. I heard a recording of Rich Mullins playing the song Creed. And it has a big emphasis on the hammer dulcimer, and I heard it, and just the sound captured me right away. I thought, that is just an amazing instrument. I played the piano, and it sounds a little like a piano, but it's not a piano. So what is this? And I did some research, and anyway, long story short, I ended up getting an instrument in Lansing in 2003 or so, and played it a lot, but never had any lessons, never knew anybody else who played the instrument, because it's extremely rare up in Canada. And so I thought, I need to get some lessons, I need to get some more experience on the instrument, and just connect with other people who play. And that led to a search online, and we were searching for just a festival or a place, workshops, lessons, anything that I could find just to learn on the instrument. And that was how we found out about the festival in Everett. And so that was what led us to come. Our first year here was in 2016. And then we came again in 2018 and couldn't come during COVID through 2020. All that time just due to the border restrictions, but we're glad to be back here again this year.
Now, what has this festival meant to you and your family?
It's for the first time or two, it was primarily myself that was the driver for coming, because I was wanting to get
it. It was your passion.
It was my passion, exactly. It was my passion. And when we got here, the youth activities resonated with our children quite a bit, because we do a lot of music at our family. And when we first arrived, we noticed the youth. We were also struck by the distinctly Christian flavor about the camp. That was something we were not expecting, but being a Christian homeschool family, that for us was an added bonus. And so so we came away very excited about just the whole thing. We felt like we had met up with long-lost family. And so that gave us the impetus to want to come back. And so we did come back again a couple of years after that. And then after the break this past spring, I asked the children, so where do you guys want to go for our summer vacation? It's our first summer vacation post-COVID. Where do you want to go? And I couldn't even give them a list. They all immediately said, we want to go to the Dulcimer Festival. And so this year, I've not gone to as many workshops. I've been busy keeping them, because they're now a good 4 or 5 years older. And so so my son, he's been playing a lot of dulcimer. He really was inspired to learn the instrument when he was here the last time 5 years ago, and has been practicing a lot. He's got his own instrument now, and he's been going off on his own. He's 15, so he's going off on his own under the workshops and learning quite a bit. Some things I think you were a little over your head, but
yes,
I think it's
they were.
Inspiring for you, though, as well.
Well, why don't you introduce him to our audience?
So, yeah, this is Lucas. He's 15, and as I said, he's been playing the dulcimer for about 5 years or so, but was introduced to the instrument and kind of, I guess, it captured your attention the last time you were here.
Yeah, I don't remember the song. Pretty sure it's something about a rad cardinal, though. But that's the song I first learned how to play. And after that, I've just been mostly playing hymns at home and at church.
You know, it's been very impressive. We're actually kitty corner from them. And so we hear them, and you play almost exclusively Christian hymn songs. That's very, very impressive.
Yeah, well, we feel the hymns are, they contain a lot of truth. And it's funny, I grew up singing newer songs and older songs, and I have nothing against the newer songs, but I do find that the older songs seem to stick with you. They're simpler, and they're songs that'll, you'll sing it on Sunday, but by Wednesday, Thursday, those songs will still be rolled around in your head, and the truths and the lyrics, they feed your heart.
Well, I definitely hear you guys playing, and it's a blessing.
Thank you.
What has, for families that... how do you recommend the Everett Fun Fest to families that really care about their children? What is the impact? What might be an outcome from fully immersing yourself and your family in a festival like this?
It's the whole community is just something else. That was something we noticed almost out the gate. We've noticed this every time we pop in. It's almost like you kind of enter a little, kind of a different world. Where, I can leave things out, no one's going to take them. Everyone's looking out for everybody else. You've met someone for 5 minutes and you feel like they're an old friend.
Well, it kind of sounds like heaven to me.
In a way, it kind of does. And that's what we weren't expecting. I mean, we do go to Christian camps on occasion as well. And there's a lot more emphasis on Bible teaching and that kind of thing. And, we're looking forward to the chapel session on Sunday. But we get a lot of that through church and VBS and home group and that kind of stuff through the year. We don't get as much music in a Christian setting any other time of the year. And so that for us is one of the reasons why we would come. I'm not sure if I've answered your question, though. Your question was, what would I say to a family kind of similar to ours thinking about wanting to come? The folks here go out of their way to make children feel welcome. They've got youth activities throughout pretty much the entire day. I think the youth activities continue on beyond the attention span of some of our younger sons. We get to around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and the teachers are still ready to give introduce them to yet another instrument or another craft or something else. And the boys they've just about sometimes just had it. We have to take them out for an hour and just go around for a walk, give them a run. And but they do love it. We've got some tie-dye shirts over there. I've still got the one that we made the last time we were here, and it's the family just loves it, so they're looking forward to doing that. So there's a lot of memories that they have coming back.
Well, introduce us to your whole family, the number of children, their ages.
Yeah, so my wife Elizabeth and I have, you've heard Lucas already, he's 15. Next to me is, on the other side is Lydia, she's 12. Then we have Dinah, who is 10. And then with us is David, who is, how old are you again, David? You're 7, right? Yeah, he's 7. And then we also have Simon, who's 5, and Jonas, who is 2, and they're up for a walk with their mom because we weren't sure if they would have the attention span for a radio interview. So Lucas specializes on the hammered dulcimer. Lydia is our vocalist. She sings, and her introduction this weekend has been the auto harp. And so,
I saw you at that festival.
Yeah, I was playing. I was working on it for myself, so that I'll be able to teach her a little bit more about the instruments. So we don't have an auto harp yet, but we'll be in the market for one. Well,
I tell you, the auto harp has a near and dear as one of my church school elementary teachers, second or third grade. She played the auto harp.
Oh, neat!
I haven't seen it too often since then.
Yeah. But it's neat. One thing we do, and then maybe back to the connection with the hymns. One thing we do really appreciate about these folk instruments is they play the hymns really well, and we've noticed that just across the board. They do the hymns really well because hymns are based on an old fashioned diatonic scale. They don't really deviate too much. They don't have a whole lot of syncopation. Again, the focus is on the melody and on the meaning behind the melody, and those older instruments like the auto harp or the harp, which Nina plays, or the hammered dulcimer, they're geared for that kind of music. And so there's this lovely synergy of beautiful instruments that you don't hear often enough and really should be kept alive, that play the hymns, which also should be kept alive. They play those hymns real well.
I really appreciate that. Just an observation, and you can check that out, James. I was watching some young people in different classes and stuff being so engaged, focusing totally on their instrument.
Yeah.
It just seemed to be such a healthy thing compared to a video game or some other activities where a kid is just sitting around without a purpose and meaning. I see this young man, teen, whatever, is so focused on something so wholesome. Does that resonate with you?
Very much. Yeah, very much. We tend not to be a big screen family. There's a couple.
Or
times
a little screen.
Big screen family or a little screen family. Yeah, we use it very sparingly. The idea of engaging in something, a musical instrument for a child, it gives them something to do, something that's meaningful. It gives them ownership, where if they invest in the instrument, then they get the rewards of investing in that instrument.
And you've seen that in your family.
We've seen that in our family, yeah. And it's been interesting too, because like I try to give piano lessons. My first instrument was the piano, I'm teaching all of them piano lessons. Everyone here gets a lesson. We try to do about once a week or so, as long as life doesn't get too much in the way. But it's been interesting. For a couple of them, they've really picked up, and they love it. And there's one, our oldest Lucas, who he plays because he has to. But his real passion is the hammered dulcimer. And so, a lot of finding an instrument or your child's development is finding an instrument that works for them. And so for Lucas, we found it's the hammered dulcimer. For Dinah, she loves, she seems to have be a bit of a musical polyglot. She likes to play all kinds of different musical instruments, but her specialty right now is the harp. We've been giving her lessons, and she's doing quite well. Lydia, she's been our singer, but again, we're trying to get her another instrument as well, and it's the auto harp, because we feel it's good for a child to have an instrument. Especially the nice thing with harp, auto harp, hammered dulcimer, those types of instruments are instruments you can sing to. And so, after they grow up, leave the house, they're off on their own, they can accompany themselves singing those hymns. And that's something that I'd like to be able to give them.
Dinah, tell us about your experience here.
Well, I've always liked playing instruments and music. And here, you get to learn a lot of instruments, and I've always wanted to learn a lot of instruments.
What is one of the things you enjoy the most from this year's festival?
Probably just like the harper's circle that I was in. Even though I didn't have a harp, I played a song on somebody else's harp, and I really enjoyed that.
Why did you enjoy that so much?
Well, it's just I love playing harp because that's my most favorite instrument, and you just can sing to it and it sounds so nice and very beautiful, and I just love it.
It makes you happy when you play it, doesn't it?
Yes.
That sounds wonderful. James, why don't we have you play a song with the family, and our listeners can enjoy that.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much, and we're looking forward to this music.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.